This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Hey everybody, what's going on? Rob Cesternino here for a double exit interview after a very emotional episode from Survivor this week. I'm sure we will talk about a lot of what happened at that second tribal council with the two players that we saw voted out from the game. That would be Roxroy and Tori. And it's interesting that we end up having Roxroy and Tori go out in the same episode. I mean, so much of their story had been interconnected along the way. Ironically, they both end up going out in the same episode of Survivor. So a lot to unpack with Roxroy first, and then with Tori here on our Exit Interview podcast. Then Jordan Kalish is going to be stopping by for This Week in Survivor History as well. We have got a great slate of podcasts coming your way as well that later on tonight I will be catching up with Jamal Shipman. Really looking forward to talking this all through with Jamal. We will take your questions as well for Jamal in our recap podcast from this week's episode of Survivor. And then I will have on the feedback show Sasha Joseph, one half of the brand new Mess Magnets podcast. Sasha is doing that with Kirsten McInnes, talking about all the latest celebrity gossip on Mess Magnets. We will take your feedback questions, get your voicemails in for Sasha Joseph, and we will take those over the weekend. And for the patrons of Rob's podcast, Lindsay Wilson will join me on Survivor Academy at robswebsite.com/patron. All right, let's go ahead and let's get to our first exit interview here today, and that is going to be with Roxroy. So, of course, you can watch these also on our YouTube channel at robswebsite.com/YouTube for the video versions, but let's bring in my interview with Roxroy. Hey, Roxroy, good morning. Rob Cesternino here. How are you?
Oh, good morning, Rob. How you doing?
Very good. Very excited to get the chance to talk to you this morning. Wish it was under better circumstances. That would love to, get to chat with you a little bit about the game today. We had that really emotional second tribal council, and it's not very often that I ask a guest on the show about the tribal council where they weren't even the person voted out about first. But can you just talk a little bit about what it was like for you to watch that second tribal council play out, where really the impetus for everything that happened was Drea seeing you sitting in the jury?
My emotion at the time was kind of like stoked, because I kind of was still absorbing the fact that now I'm sitting on this side. Drea walks in. She's the first person to walk in. She looks over. She sees myself. She sees Chanel, two brown people sitting there. And her head just went completely down. It was pouring rain. You know, it was pouring rain at the moment. And I think that was a lot to be said about, because it kind of like cleansed me a little bit. I think it just, for me emotionally, having that rain just being poured on me and listening and seeing Drea's reaction. And I think one of the things that was not developed a lot in this season was her and I just our bond, our alliance was not really talked about, which is great, because we kind of had an understanding, like, you're good, I'm good, we're good. But I think her seeing me there, she was like, what the, you know. But the conversation and just the question that Jeff asked Drea based on her reaction, I just kind of wanted just to be numb to that moment. And the reason why I say it like that is because that was her personal past, everything coming through. You could see it. And she knew that. And I think that I don't want to put words in Drea's mouth at all, but I think her reaction was like, I don't want to be a third brown person sitting there. Okay. I'm playing the advantage that I have tonight because I'm staying, regardless of what. And it rewatching it, knowing that I lived in that moment, it was to me, but I completely understood why her and Marianne, on a different level, I think, than can be expressed. I understood why her and Marianne decided to say, hey, I'm staying tonight.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. Well, thank you for, talking all that through. I wanted to talk about, how close you and Drea were in the game, because we saw it in the first episode and it seemed like that it was even like a three person alliance, with you and Romeo, based on what we saw in, the first couple episodes. But then it seemed like that we didn't get to see too much of that. And it seemed like that at points that Drea and Romeo, got closer together. But then, at the merge, it seemed like, Drea vouched for you, but we didn't see a lot of, you two strategizing. So just how close was that relationship for you at that point in the game where you ultimately went out?
I think that Drea and I had a silent understanding of each other. She knew that I was working in the best interest of in the beginning of Ika. I think it was shown, I think the first episode when I reflected and I said to Drea, am I coming on too strong? Do I need to tone it down? She was like, tone it down a little bit, Ross.
Yeah.
And we kind of made a really incredible bond that we didn't need to talk or express to each other how we were going to defend each other. We didn't need to do it. That was it. It was like from jump, she knew that I would give my all. I knew she would give her all. Her and I were just from jump, good to go. With Romeo and myself and Drea, I thought that our alliance was rock solid. But when I got back from being on, I guess, away for the last two and a half days, Drea said, and I don't think it was shown, but Drea comes up to me real quick and says, Romeo's freaking out. Romeo is, I don't know what's going on with him. You know, he's not the same as when he was on Ika. And I'm like, oh, okay. Didn't know what to think. Didn't know how to react to it, because I just got thrown into fire, not knowing what was going on when I was gone. So for her to say that to me was kind of like, whoa, at first. And then I kind of saw like all the stuff that was happening, like conversations that were happening. And I'm like, why don't we just stay eco strong?
So,
people alone.
Roxray, so that's very interesting. That I wanted to know, like, how does that figure into? We saw you last night talking about, okay, well, what about an alliance with the guys? Which one were you more loyal to, the potential alliance with the guys or potentially doing eco strong?
What they didn't show last night when I said let's be in alliance with the guys, said, but we also have to have Drea with us.
Mm-hmm.
And Mike goes, yeah, Drea's that's great, Ross. Like, I think even Jonathan was like, yeah, that's great. Because I said, because the alliance with the guys would be myself, Romeo, and Drea at the time. That's three eco right there, because I already had the alliance. I said, as long as Drea is with us, I'm good. I wanted to make a move kind of coming out of not knowing what was happening, and my social game was sometimes. I wanted to make a little bit of like move where I would just put into at least the two guys there, which was Mike why am I having a blank right now? So I wanted to make a move with the guys for them to understand that, put it in their head, Rox is not a threat. He's looking out for my best interests. Let's not put his name on the chopping block right away. And that was what Jonathan and Mike was what I wanted to like put into their heads. Keep me around for a little bit. Let's see what happens. We know he's going to have our back. let's just go, let's see how far this takes us.
Did you get any sort of signal that Hai or Omer were not really feeling the idea to work with the guys from your conversations with them?
I think I got a feeling with Hai when we were that night. We went back. Hai won immunity, and his behavior was kind of like, more than I just want immunity, it was like I kind of had a feeling about everything a little bit. But speaking with Mike's from Jersey, I grew up in New York, you know, it's like I felt as if I said to Mike, look, if I give you my word on something, it's solid, bro. If you get in a fight, you know I'm right there to jump in. Mm-hmm. And we kind of had that conversation. So I felt very confident. Even though a little bit of in my head, I was like, we have a plan, but it seems as if I couldn't read Omar. I couldn't. And I'll admit to that. I couldn't. Dude played him. I was like, okay. Mm-hmm. But I couldn't read him. But with Mike, I felt confident enough with Mike that I was like, oh, if Mike's still on board with me and with the plan, then I should feel safe. Let it go, Rox.
Rox Roy, can you talk a little bit about your relationship with Tori? We saw that there was certainly some friction on the show, but was that your experience living out there?
No, I mean, I'm from New York. I grew up in New York City, big city. Tori grew up in Oklahoma, country girl. No, like, yes, how we related was sometimes kind of like oil and water. But I had really no conflict kind of with Tori. Tori was trying to understand my gameplay. And I know it was difficult a little bit because my gameplay was provide, stay around. They need me, stay around. She couldn't understand, but you're not playing a social game, Rox. What's going on? Why aren't you bonding? No, I wanted to be relevant and needed, that my name was not going to would not come up. Not written down. I needed to be needed to her. She was more like in the social aspect of everything. And I was like, I'm still going to get some firewood. Mm-hmm. but really quickly, I was always very impressed with Tori. She, her effort that she gave and all the challenges with Ika, her individual effort that she gave to win two individual challenges. Wonderful.
Yeah. Rox Roy, at the merge, a lot of people were hoping that you could explain. You voted for Lindsay, L-Y-N-Z-E. And some people were wondering, wait, was Rox Roy voting for Lydia? Why cast the only vote for Lindsay? What was going on there?
One of the things that they didn't show is my conversation with Lindsay when we were drew the rock before I went off to the island. And I realized, I said, holy cow, this woman could play. She could play. Lydia, I could not vote for because Lydia and I went on that journey and I thought I gave her an opportunity to actually get an advantage because I felt like I didn't need it. I had a great alliance. I felt like I had a really good alliance, a strong alliance. I'm the kind of person that I stick to my convictions, you know? So I said, no, I would not vote for her. Who else am I going to vote? They were all going that way. I wanted to make it known that Lindsay was a player. I wanted her name written down because just a little of awareness that she's balling. She could ball, okay? So that's the reason why I did it. No mistake, no nothing like that. I did that on my own accord, just like, hey, look out for this person.
Rox Roy, you had a great episode when you went out to Exile Island. It was great to get so much of your backstory there. Did you consider at all not breaking the hourglass, or it was a no-brainer for you?
No, I did consider not breaking it. And surprisingly, I'm shocked that people say, oh, well, obviously you should break it. But I did consider not breaking it. I personally think that not everyone should get a trophy. When you win, okay? Compete, get it done. And I thought about it. I said, it wasn't the individuals that basically were on both sides. I just said, you got, they, we won. Now I have to compete. And will it show to, will it show to the others that I'm all about, you win. But I also believe in redemption. Like, I've gotten a lot of do-overs in my life. Maybe not always warranted, but I have. So I felt also, that's why I sat there and I said, Drea, Romeo, alliance. But then there's a Tory factor. And the reason I said there's a Tory factor wasn't because me, I anything about Tory, anything like that. I was like, if I make this decision, okay, I may potentially be hurting her as well. And putting her position in the game in jeopardy for my for our alliance as Ika. But I did it. I really, really, really thought a lot about not breaking it. I went with breaking it because of the fact that, again, redemption. And I felt, because I didn't know Mike, I didn't know Omar, I didn't know Chanel. I had no advantage for me there.
Sure,
you know, so. You know, but I did break it, and hindsight, maybe I should have listened to the little voice. I don't know.
All right, that's right. Real quick, I know you got to run. How much redemption did you need when you talked about being on Exile Island and how nice it was with no nagging wife on Exile Island?
Oh, I got in trouble.
Yes. But you got a second shot, right?
I got in trouble.
Okay.
That's as much as I'm going to say.
Yeah. All right. I hope you're doing okay. I hope you're out of the doghouse now, Roxroy. From one old head to another, it was very nice to watch you play this season. Hope we can chat some more in the future, Roxroy.
Thank you so very much, Rob. I appreciate it.
Take care. Have a great day. Bye.
You too.
All right, there you have it, Roxroy. Roxroy, very fun to talk to. Thought that he was such an interesting throwback of a player, somebody who you might have seen maybe in the early days of Survivor. Not a really big social media footprint for Roxroy. Not sure how aware he is of everything that's going on, but I do hope that I get the opportunity to catch up with him. I think he'd be a really fun person to check in with in the future, whether it's more about this season or down the road. All right, we still have another exit interview to go. We're going to talk with Roxroy's buddy, Tori, coming up. Let's take a quick break, and when we come back, let's do our exit interview with Tori. Hey, Tori, what's going on? Rob Sestrina, how are you doing?
I'm very excited to talk to you, and I'm happy. I'm very happy.
Okay, good. I'm very excited to talk to you, too, as well. Of course, cool. You know, you were part of a really monumental tribal council in the episode last night. I'm interested to know, going into that tribal council, you know, we saw a lot of what was going on back at camp. What were you expecting to have happen if everything went according to plan?
Yeah, I was fully expecting for Drea to get blindsided with the idol in her pocket. I'd maybe get a vote thrown my way, but I was going to be safe and Cockroach was going to live another day.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I really did feel like that, you know, had you made it through, I had said all week, like, had you made it through that split tribal council vote, I did feel like that you were, I think, probably people weren't going to worry about you for a while.
That was my plan. Like, I know in Survivor, like, yeah, I was a target at, you know, every tribal I was going to, but if you can just make it through, eventually, like, other targets are going to emerge and people are going to want numbers. And so I was trying to advertise myself the entire time as, like, you want to make a plan, you want to make a move, you want to build your resume, use me to do it. Just mm-hmm. like, use me. And so that's what I was hoping. And I think that would have happened had I continued to make it through. The bigger majority alliance would have wanted to cannibalize themselves and I'd be there to help.
So, Tori, if your group went to the first tribal council and Drea doesn't see Roxroy sitting on the jury, do you feel like that the blind side would have been successful? Or do you feel like that Drea sort of like had been suspicious the whole day?
So, you know, what ifs are challenging. I could lose sleep over them. I made so many mistakes, so many regrets, so many things that if it was slightly different, I might have lived to see another day. And I do think that is one of them. Of course, hindsight is 2020, but I do think had we gone to tribal council first, I think I would have still been in the game.
Mm-hmm. Now, I know we only get to see like a small snippet of a conversation, which I'm sure went on quite some time and a lot of different things were covered. But I felt like that the thing that like didn't come through was that, you know, at some point, Marianne starts saying, well, I'm not going to write Drea's name down. Does Drea ever get to the realization that it's not just that she's playing her idol, you know, that because she doesn't want there to be any chance, that there is a very real chance that the Taku tribe members and you are coming to vote her out? Does she get there in that conversation?
So I will say the part that didn't get shown, which for me was the most terrifying moment of that tribal, like for my own game, was Drea. At first, I could tell she was like a little weary, like, you know, I might play my idol if I need to. And you see me lie to her, try to convince her, oh, no, you don't need to. If you want to, I support that. My vote's not changing, though. Clearly, you know, still lying to her, thinking it was still very much game at that point. But what really turned, and when she was like, no, I am playing my idol, is she started catching more on of like that it might have really been a possibility. And she turns to Lindsay and Lindsay just like nods her head. She's like, as in like, it was going to be you. And at that point, things really shifted from my perspective. And it was, I mean, I was tanked at that point, but I was okay with it because I saw that I'm going to step aside. Like if I go home that night, it's just my survivor dream that's coming to an end, which still sucks. Like it's a huge dream of mine. But I understood in that moment, if Marianne or Drea were to go home, it would be a lot deeper and more hurtful for them. And so I was okay. I've had peace this whole time about it, of just kind of giving them space, removing myself from that situation, not trying to cause any more chaos or strategize, but just being like, I want this moment to be a moment. I'll go calmly play my shot in the dark and see what happens.
Yeah. So did you have any feelings about that they did not have a vote? Would you have preferred if everybody got up and voted?
No, I didn't really care. To me, it is just a formality. And I did feel like it was more appropriate not to go through that formality due to what was happening in tribal. I did, when I played my shot in the dark, I went up and tried to write Lindsay's name down because I'm like, haha, suckers, this is the only vote. She's going home. I'm kidding. That's a joke.
Yeah, it's a joke.
Yeah. But no, I don't think that formality was needed. And I remember like this didn't necessarily get shown, but I did kept referring to like, I felt very uncomfortable in that moment because it was such a real moment. And it felt uncomfortable for me to have to save my game. The only way was to like interject and like strategize, try to fight, manipulate. And I just didn't want to do that. And so I think taking all the formalities, even the strategy out of it, and just having it just come down to my shot in the dark, making it or not in terms of who goes home, it felt more appropriate and respectful.
Yeah. At the end of that conversation, and I know that, you know, it's very hard to glean this from watching the television product, you know, did it seem like that conversation, you know, that there was like some healing that went on in that conversation by the end of it? Or did you feel like that, oh, okay, I'm walking out of here, but things still seem very tense?
I mean, the word healing, I hesitate to use because like, that's such a, like, it's a big wound and it's something big that
I just mean like on a more positive tone.
Yes, I do agree. It did leave on a more positive note. And I think you saw a really sweet moment of like Drea and Jonathan, like kind of hugging or like leaning against each other. So I think that's powerful in the sense that like, yes, it was uncomfortable for people. It was like vulnerable and sensitive for people, but we could talk about it, allow people to express their thoughts, whether it was like wise for people to say things or not, or whatever. They were able to have that conversation, and as opposed to just like shutting people down. And like me as a therapist, I saw that no one knew I was a therapist at that point. Mm-hmm. Like I never told anyone, but I saw that moment. I was like, oh my goodness, like healing needs to be done here. Like this doesn't feel comfortable doing it in the confines of a game, but just like giving space and not invalidating people. Cause I think just cause you don't understand someone's point of view doesn't give you the right to invalidate them. And that's what I just tried to do.
I want to go back to the events prior to the tribal council. We saw last week that you had observed Drea had found that idol in the paint. And you had asked her about like, hey, what's that on your arm? And she said, oh, no, I was painting the flag. But you noticed that there was nothing going on with the tribe flag. We saw you talk to Marianne about that. Did you have any other conversations with that? And did any of those conversations go anywhere?
No conversations I had really ever went anywhere. Mm-hmm. Let's be honest here. But I kind of did. I did talk to Marianne. I might have mentioned it to Omer or Romeo like the only people giving me the time of day. But what I kind of wanted with that was to like kind of keep it in my arsenal for when it needed. And so that was something I was trying to share in last night's vote, like going into it was like, hey, Drea has a lot of stuff we don't even know about. Like, why would we want to keep all these unknowns and advantages that we even know she has in the game? So I was trying to use that, which that part never really got shown. But yeah, I was trying to then like convince Jonathan and Lindsay that it's unstrategic to keep this much power in the game that we don't even know all that it is.
It seemed like that you had been developing a relationship with Marianne. Can you talk a little bit about how close you and Marianne had become after the merge?
Absolutely. So Marianne's the first like fun I kind of had on Survivor. Like everything was fun because I was on Survivor, but like on Ika, we didn't have fun. We didn't go to the beach. We sat at our shelter and gathered wood. Like that's not fun. And no one wanted to strategize with me, so I wasn't having fun that way. But with Marianne, she's so herself. Like we're both nerdy and weird. We talked about so many vines, like we connected on our faith. And she was kind of one of the only people who was like willing to get to know me, which like meant a lot to me. And so, yeah, we developed like a great, we would always be like, oh, the bottoms never looked so cute, and call ourselves like island besties. And like now I consider her like a soul sister. Like she means so much to me.
Now, can you talk a little bit about your relationship with Roxroy, who I just got done speaking with? And it's, you know, very interesting that you two had, you know, been connected all season and then ultimately go out in the same episode. What was it like for you, you know, playing with Roxroy over this time?
Yeah, it was frustrating to play with him. I've never seen a character like him where, you know, someone's coming to them like, hey, here's the secret. I want to work with you. And there's like, nope. I'm going to throw you under the bus instead. And just like not wanting to give me any information. And, you know, I just misunderstood Roxroy. I thought he was talking down to me. I thought he was being condescending. But when I understood that, no, he's a stay-at-home dad. So he is more comfortable speaking to his children. Like that's just normal for him. So now like Rox and I, we have a great relationship. I think the world of him. I think he's so awesome. I know like people want to probably be like, oh, they still hate each other. Ponderosa was awful. No, I think he's awesome. We just never really got on the same page in the game, but there was strategy, at least from my end, on our like chaotic relationship. So I wanted to go into the merge with people thinking Ika was totally fractured. And like part of me did want to leave Ika, but I knew for my game, you need to keep options. I wanted my cake and eat it too. And so I wanted people to see us bickering so that people would tell Rox stuff that they wouldn't want me to know. But Rox was feeding me information. He was one of the only people feeding me information. So there was also a strategic component, you know, like me blowing up on him after the hourglass, like, I'm not just that dumb.
Okay. So that was, there was some intentionality on your part. When that happened.
Yeah, absolutely. And like me sending Rox to the island, like I wanted someone from Ika to go because there was somewhat of an advantage and like, it did work for me because I ended up winning the immunity challenge. Yes. Thanks to him.
Yes.
But, no, there was definitely no strategy in that too, which it might not come across that way, but yeah, it was there.
Okay, so you won those first two immunity challenges after the merge. Were you, you know, hyper aware that maybe your life was on the line in the game had you not won them? Or do you think that maybe you would have been able to finesse your way through a couple of those votes?
So I definitely felt I was on the bottom. If I'm being totally honest, it was like 80% I need to win this or I'm going home. But when I watch back, it's like 100% if I lost, I was going home. So I didn't realize that because I didn't want to believe that just based off of like one person's opinion of me, I was completely tarnished in everyone's eyes. And that's honestly what happened. So no one was willing to give me a chance. And so I had to fight for my life. And that's why it all happened that way.
In the second immunity challenge that you won, I noticed that you were, you know, holding the sticks in a different way than all the other contestants. Was that something that you had researched before you went onto the show about how to play that challenge?
Well, yeah, you could say like I'm an overthinker, overprepared, because I wanted to come into Survivor and have any advantage that I could. So, yeah, I know like I was not going to lose that challenge because my ball was going to drop. It was only if I would have fallen, because I know the way, if you hold it that way, you're most secure. And so like, you know, people would even try to say like, I got lucky on those challenges. But I also knew like with the first one where you had to balance the immunity, like I had done marching band for years. So I know how to like move my lower body and stay very straight and like upright with my upper body. And so like, I just had strategy going into those challenges too, to where like, I knew I could do it. Like I did, I kind of knew I could do it.
Tori, how did you react to so many people thinking that you had found the third Beware advantage all through the season?
Well, it's like, I mean, it's like, oh, like, sure, give me fake credit, but y'all, like, I didn't. So it was kind of like, even my mom was convinced, you know, at all these amazing things I would do. And I was like, Mom, no. Like, she was convinced I was going to win the immunity challenge last night. Mm-hmm. She's like, oh, I can't wait to watch you win it. And I was like, I don't. So it's almost like a little embarrassing because it's like, I didn't do as good as you guys are thinking I did. So that's a little hard to swallow. Would have been great, but.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. A lot of people were very convinced. Okay. Tori's got to find that third Beware advantage, the potato idol. It's out there. Mm-hmm. Can you just give us a sense of anything about your story or your time on the show that you feel like that the viewers didn't get a chance to see?
Yeah, I actually feel like there was a lot. Like, I'm not just this sassy, bratty girl who rolls her eyes all the time. I'm really not. Like, a big portion of my game out there was faith. And I know a lot of people are like, does God even have a place in Survivor? Like, does he care who wins Survivor or about the game? You know, maybe he doesn't, but I do know God cares about me. And he knows, like, the desires of my heart, and it was to play Survivor. And so that's me. Like, my faith was a huge part. That was also a connection piece I had with a lot of people post-merge, connecting on our faith. And then also, like, there was a big journey that I was going on with, like, body image and, like, how I saw myself, because I'm a therapist for women with eating disorders. And, like, I've had my own journey and struggles. And so I wanted to go to Survivor, and your body, like, the way it looks is the least interesting thing about you playing Survivor. And instead, like, you realize what all you're capable of and, like, what your body can do. And so I, like, that to me was, like, a huge experience and really shaped, like, how I view myself and how I view my body. It's like, I don't care what my body looks like. If my body can get me through that stuff, help me win two individual immunity challenges, like, survive on nothing and still, like, be able to think clearly, like, that's great. So there's a lot more of that. Hopefully I'll get to talk about.
Okay. Well, Tori, thank you for coming through and talking about all this stuff. Covered a lot of ground, so I always appreciate that. And all the best to you outside the show.
Awesome. Thank you so much. It was such a pleasure.
Very nice to talk to you, Tori. Take care. Bye.
Bye.
Everybody, there you have it. Tori Meehan, who I thought was in very good spirits coming out of the game, had a lot of insight into everything that was going on during her time in the game. And, you know, as I always like it when we can cover a lot of different ground on the exit interviews. She's a fast talker. And so we were able to get to a lot of different things. All right. Speaking of getting to a lot of different things, we still have Jordan Kalish coming up for you to talk about what happened on this week in Survivor history. We'll take one more break and we'll come back with Jordan Kalish right after this. So in my mind, there's no better way to cap off a double exit interview than to bring in the triple decker himself. Here he is. It's Jordan Kalish. Jordan, how are you?
I'm doing great, Robin, and what a palate cleanser I am to come in after those hot exit interviews, cool things
hot
down a little bit,
interviews.
Get some chill, gets to be a little bit chill and start playing some Twitch.
I know this is a big day of the year for you. This is the day of the NFL draft. You are a big draft Nick.
Yes.
Are you a Survivor Nick?
I think I'm a Survivor Nick, not necessarily a Nick Wilson, but a Survivor Nick for sure.
Well, yeah,
and yeah,
please.
I think I'm a draft Nick too. It's one of my favorite days, as you said, of the year. If as you're listening to this, when you're finished listening to this triple decker of an exit interview, you can listen to Akiva and I talk about the NFL draft on 32 Fans.
Is that going to be a regular episode or a patron episode?
I believe it's just a regular episode. Okay. In the past, it's always been regular.
Okay. All right,
we'll
see.
So, yeah, listen to that. And look, it's always one of the biggest days for the Jets because we're always picking right near the top. So.
Okay. All right. Well, Jordan, we're not going to revisit the Jets draft history. That would be too painful. Instead, why don't we talk about what's going on during here the last week of April in Survivor history?
So last week of April, I have some brand new questions for you, Rob, and we're going to visit three different seasons today, starting with the most recent, recent spring season before 42, which was Winners at War.
Okay.
So this season, Winners at War featured two immunity challenges in which both a man and a woman would win immunity.
Mm-hmm.
On April 29th, 2020, 2 years ago tomorrow, which woman won immunity at the final eight after already accomplishing the feat in the first challenge after the merge?
Okay.
So the two challenges were a man and woman won, and the woman happened to be the same player both times, including the final eight.
I believe that that person happened to be. Let me just think about it one more time, because now I'm starting to feel like, okay. At first I was thinking, okay, this person is Kim Spradlin, but now I'm thinking, okay, at the final eight, I think Kim Spradlin went out at the final eight. So it has to be somebody else who's still there and in the game. I'm wondering if it was, could it have been, I don't think it was Michelle. I don't think that Sarah ever wins an immunity challenge. I think it might be Denise. I'm gonna say it's Denise.
Okay, so you're going with Denise Stapley. Your first gut was to go with Kim Spradlin. Kim Spradlin does get voted out the final eight, so she would have been incorrect. Mm-hmm. She dropped out of this challenge for cookies and peanut butter, along with Michelle Fitzgerald, who also didn't win the challenge. Mm-hmm. So you are correct. The answer is Denise Stapley. She was the person who won both of these dual immunity challenges when they broke it up between the men and the women.
Yeah, and I'm pretty sure she won like this in Philippines.
Yeah, she's a challenge stud. I mean, everyone thinks of her for her social game, but she's been pretty good at the challenges as well. So congratulations, Denise.
The Queen Slayer, sure. Yes.
Exactly. Denise and Tony were the two people who won. Tony got his third immunity yes. win in a row in this episode. And I believe she and Jeremy, I think it was Jeremy who won at the merch, mm-hmm. the two immunities.
Okay. Yeah. So she's dominant in the, you know, only versus the women immunity challenges.
I know. And a good job. Congratulations to Denise. We're going to go to another episode now. You're one for one. You need one more question right to win the week.
Yeah.
We're going to go to April 27th, 2006, 16 years ago yesterday. This is a little bit longer ago
okay.
than the last episode.
April 27th, 2006. Oh, my
yes.
God.
Yeah, 16 years ago. But it's a famous episode, Rob. You're going to remember what happened here.
Okay.
Ceri pulled off her famous 3-2-1 vote at the final six. Who cast the one vote, a.k.a. the lone vote for another player, and who was it cast for? So to get this question right, you need to get two parts of the question. You need to say, who cast the one of the 3-2-1, and who was it cast for?
Okay. All right. So let's work this out. Okay. So the 3-2-1. Okay. So I think that the three is Ceri and Aris and Danielle. They are going to vote for the person who goes home. That's Courtney. Now what was Shane doing? Was Shane with Terry or was Shane with Courtney? What did Terry think? I don't know. Like, what was the two and what was the one? Okay. Were they trying to vote out Danielle? Did they put the two votes on Danielle and that they told Terry to do his one thing? I think that the one vote probably was from Terry, and I'm wondering if maybe they told him it was gonna be Aris. So I'm gonna say that the one vote was from Terry for Aris.
Okay, so the one vote from Terry for Aris. So in the 3-2-1, I will say the first part of this vote, you definitely got right. It was, Aris, Ceri, and Danielle voting Courtney out of the game.
Mm-hmm.
However, Rob,
yeah,
you got neither part correct.
Oh!
It was Shane who cast the lone vote for Danielle. Courtney and Terry voted for Aris. So that was the two. Shane voting for Danielle was the one. So you're one for two.
Okay.
You need to get the last question right to win.
So, people. But the
most important thing really here is the three. The 3-2-1 is the most important
part. That was the most important part, right.
Yes. Plurality vote, again, is another mm-hmm. Shining Dust classic. So, but unfortunately, you did not get that one vote correct. So now you have to get this one right. We're going to go April 24th, 2008, 14 years ago Sunday. Who won the note at the Survivor auction and chose Jason to go to Exile Island where a new vote had been hidden on Survivor Micronesia?
Okay. So let's say one more time.
Yeah,
so at the auction, who won the note that said somebody to the Exile Island?
Yes. So 2008, 14 years ago, somebody won a note at the auction.
Remember the auction, Jordan? Remember they used to have that?
I missed the auction.
What would you bid on at the auction?
I mean, look, I think I would be one of the people who like broke this challenge because I'd probably be out there waiting for some sort of idol or advantage. I think maybe they should just do
nothing.
It with
there's no, like, all right, here we go.
Put, like,
we've got like a cheeseburger and everything bagel. Look at this. Everything on it. And cream cheese, bagel, cream sesame, cheese. Poppy, garlic, onion.
That would be pretty tempting, right? Is there lox? Is there lox on the bagel?
Do you want lox?
I want lox. Of course, yeah. I want lox.
Yeah.
Are there capers?
Would you want capers? It's everything. Yeah. It's everything.
Everything? The works?
The works. All the fixings.
I would be very tempted at this point to go all in on this everything.
500.
And it's a big, like nice thick bagel. They're not skimping on the lox.
Yeah, they went like right from Manhattan. These aren't Fiji bagels. Okay.
Okay, so no Fiji bagels.
Can you imagine the Fiji bagels?
Do I get like a nice coffee with it?
Stop! You're being greedy. That's it. Going once, going twice.
Iced coffee, I'm in. If not, I'm holding out for the. No, I think I would go in for this, Rob. I think I'd be very tempted.
I believe Natalie Bolton sent Jason Siska off to go to Exile Island.
Natalie Bolton,
and he was like, "Hey, why did you do that?" And she's like, "It was part of the plan, you idiot."
Yeah, and Jason Siska, he should have been jumping at the bit to get this new idol that had been hidden. Jeff told them there's an idol. So it really makes no sense that Jason gets sent here, but you are correct. Natalie Bolton did not save her money for the everything bagel. She bought the note. She sent Jason to exile. He took his money, right? Yeah. And she gets blind. And then they blindside Jason. So it does work out for them, but it just never made sense to me. Like, this is really early days of the idol. You would never send the person you're trying to get out to an island, especially after Jeff had said there was a new idol hidden. But this is where we were in Survivor, and they didn't know yet.
Yeah.
Good thing is they were going up against Jason Siska, who didn't know that he probably should have played his idol there. So
he thought a stick was the idol. Okay, what do you want from him? He's doing the best he can.
Yeah, not great.
Okay,
but you win the game 2-1. Two right, one wrong. That's a win. And now we get to the ending of this quiz, which is going to be the verbal rebus. You've never missed a verbal rebus.
It would really be very hard for me to.
It's not really designed to miss. Is this? We want you to get the rebus. We want everybody listening to get the rebus.
Okay, so yeah. Jordan. Everybody always says the verbal rebus puzzles do not miss.
No, and I think we've really just reinvented Twitch here. I mean, I think that when people look back, when we're doing this week in Survivor history and Survivor history, which season brought in the verbal rebus puzzle? I mean, 42. That was the verbal rebus season.
Okay, let's get to the verbal rebus.
Okay, so here we go. The animal sound made by Jenna Lewis when voting for Joel, plus the nickname of Micronesia Mary's biggest ally, minus blank stuff. According to James Miller, minus half of Survivor's second ever boot, plus Sarge's real first name. So let's take it step by step. We have the animal sounds made by Jenna Lewis when voting for Joel.
Okay. All right. So I know that Jenna Lewis, when she votes for Joel, says moo, because even though Jervis kind of said it.
It really was. I think Joel does get more of the blame for this, but it was more Jervis, actually.
Yeah, as Rudy said, you know, he was a male chauvinist pig.
Yeah, more male chauvinist cow, apparently, because they're the ones that moo.
Yes, okay. All right. So what's the moo second one? Okay.
Yeah, the nickname of Micronesia Mary's biggest ally.
The nickname of Micronesia Mary's biggest ally. Okay, so, all right, I believe that would be Mikey B.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then minus blank stuff, according to James Miller.
Okay. Minus my stuff, like, okay. Sometimes I know what the answer is, and I'm trying to figure out what your clues are.
So
okay.
It's blank stuff. So okay. What is the word before stuff?
My.
Yeah, we have Mikey B minus my.
Mikey B minus my. Okay.
Minus half of Survivor's second ever boot. So who's the second ever boot
BB.
On Survivor?
Okay.
Yeah, so it's half of BB.
Okay, B, okay.
Yeah, so we have Mikey B minus Mayan B.
Yes,
and then plus Sarge's real first name. What's his real name?
Lee.
Lee. So who? What are we left with now?
Mookie Lee.
Mookie Lee. Yes, Mookie Lee from Survivor Fiji voted out this week in Survivor history. Mm-hmm. That is the correct answer. We have done it once again.
We've done it. You've done it once again.
Yes.
Jordan, treat yourself to an iced coffee and everything bagel with a lox. And you put all of the things on there. That I mean, it already has everything on it, but you're also going to put the cream cheese and the lox and the capers, all of those things.
If I'm making it, if I go to a place, I don't know.
You something? I've never had the lox bagel.
Interesting. You should try it. I don't. Mm-hmm. I mean, are you a fish? Are you a fish guy? Are you a smoked fish guy?
I like salmon. I've never had salmon on a.
It's just like a bagel. It's like a. You know, you could get varying levels of saltiness, and it could either be pretty salty or not so salty. It's delicious. It's my favorite breakfast. I mean, I think this has been well covered that the everything bagel with lox is my favorite breakfast. I think you should try it. Maybe you're gonna be in New York soon for Know It Alls. That's the place to do it. Mm-hmm. I. If I'm getting it at a bagel place, sometimes they'll have one that's called the classic or the works or something. And they put all the capers on there. I never have capers in the house. When I do have lox, it's usually
that would be a caper if you had lox in the house, right?
Yeah, mm-hmm, that would. I like pulling off capers.
Yeah. All right. Maybe in New York.
Yeah.
Next week.
Let's make it happen. Bagels and lox, Rob, you're going to love it.
All right. Sounds good. All right.
You're going to love it more than the verbal rebus.
All right. Jordan, anything else that people should check out or look you up on?
Listen to the draft podcast on 32 Fans. You follow me on Twitter at Jordan Kalish. And that's basically it. I'm at this point, I'm hoping, I went to Maine over the weekend. I had a great time, and I haven't put any at this point at the time of recording. I haven't put anything up in terms of pictures on my Instagram, but maybe I will at this point. So check out my Instagram. Hopefully I haven't procrastinated. My Maine pictures are up. Get to see some lobster, get to see some nice coast, did some nice hikes. It was a great time.
You went to go see lobsters in Maine?
No, I went to eat lobsters in Maine. I saw the coast. I took a picture before I ate the lobsters. So okay. It was a great time.
All right. Jordan Kalish, everybody. Thank you so much.
Talk to you soon.
All right, everybody, there you have it. Jordan Kalish at the end of our double exit interview this week. Rox Roy, Tori, and Jordan Kalish all in one podcast. You're not going to find that anywhere else here, all right? So we are going to come back. I still have also Beyond the Edge to get to later on today, so be on the lookout for that. For those of you following the weekly Celebrity Survivor, pseudo Celebrity Survivor show that's going on that I cover every week with Jenny Autumn, Beyond the Edge. Check that out later on today on Thursday. Not to mention everything else in our Survivor lineup coming your way. I'm sure Bryce and Wendell are going to have a great conversation on the Survivor News edition of the Purple Pants podcast. Plus everything else with the Survivor Stock Watch already out. Puya Zamakili joined Taryn for that. The B&B, Why the Blank Lost, and Survivor Global all this week coming your way. Make sure you subscribe to everything when you go to robinswebsite.com/subscribe. And for our Survivor only podcast feed, that's robinswebsite.com/survivor feed. Thank you so much for listening. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.